This is the Ontario Family Law Podcast, dealing with issues related to marriage, separation, divorce, and even some child welfare issues. It is a companion to the book, The Guide to the Basics of Ontario Family Law, which is available on Amazon or by calling 416-446-5847. My name is John Schumann. I am a family lawyer, mediator, arbitrator, and collaborative lawyer, and I head up the Family Law Group at Devery Smith Frank, LLP. Today at the podcast, we start at the beginning. How do you know if you're separated? So, you think your relationship is over. Well, how do you know, and how do you know if you're separated? The date on which a couple separates is an important one in Ontario family law. The date of separation, which is also called the valuation date in legal circles, is the date on which support obligations usually start. It is also the date used to value the party's property when dividing it for the purposes of Ontario. Unlike in some other jurisdictions, there is no formal way in which parties tell each other that they're separated. You don't have to file anything with the court. You don't have to give anything in writing. Ontario law says that a couple is separated when a reasonable observer, that's your next door neighbor, friend down the street, someone who looks in on your family from the outside, when that person would say that the husband and wife or the common law partners are no longer living together as spouses and that there is no reasonable prospect that they will resume cohabitation. The date of separation is not necessarily the date when one of the partners moves out of the house. Spouses can actually be separated while still living together under the same roof. The relationship is irrevocably over as far as the spouses are concerned, but they continue to live together for either economic reasons or for the sake of the children or for some other reason. In these cases, the spouses are not sharing a bedroom anymore, and they may not be sharing any part of the house anymore. They are usually actively avoiding each other. The flip side of this arrangement can be where two spouses are still married, still want to be married, still have a good relationship, but because of work or other obligations, aren't living together, haven't lived together for a long time. Of course, they may still talk to each other and they still consider themselves married, but they aren't under the same roof. Those spouses that continue to be consider themselves married are married. They're not separated for Ontario law. Usually, there is one particular event or one particular series of events or one particular day when something happened that the spouses agree marks the date that their marriage was over. That may be the date that one of the spouses told the other one that the marriage was over, or for unmarried couples that the relationship was over, or it could be the day that one of them went to see a family law lawyer and put everything in place to separate, or in the most unfortunate circumstances, it can be the date on which one of the spouses had the other spouse arrested. Of course, not all marriages end in that way. Some of them end gradually. And it can be difficult in those situations to determine exactly what the separation date was. Since the date of separation is so important in Ontario law, judges sometimes have to decide what the particular date was. In deciding what the date of separation was when it's not otherwise clear, judges consider the following factors. When the party stopped going out together as a family, when they stopped eating meals together, when they stopped vacationing together, when the parties separated their finances, when the parties reported themselves as separated on their income tax returns, and when the parties started telling other people that they were no longer living together as husband and wife, or when they told other people that their relationship was really over. There may be other factors that are important too. And there can be situations where these factors contradict each other, such as where the family stopped vacationing together, but they still ate meals together with the children. In those cases, it can be hard to say what the date of separation was with any certainty, but one has to be picked by either the judge or by the parties. Another complication is that in Ontario, the two spouses do not have to agree to separate. One of the spouses can end the marriage or the relationship unilaterally. This may greatly upset the spouse that is left behind, but there is nothing legally that spouse can do to keep their former partner in the marriage or in the relationship. Some spouses may feel that their partner had to be crazy to leave them. More than one jilted spouse has gone to the courts and said that their spouse had a mental illness, and that's the reason why they left. it's important to understand that the capacity to form the intention to leave a marriage or another relationship is not a demanding one. The mere fact of a mental illness is not enough for a court to find that a spouse cannot decide to separate. A spouse's decision to separate is valid as long as it was not based on some irrational belief. Irrational does not mean wrong. A spouse can be wrong about whether their partner was having an affair. That wrong belief does not make the separation invalid. An irrational belief is something along the lines of, I need to separate because my partner is possessed by space aliens, unless of course that's true, or that I'm separating from my spouse because the sky is now green instead of blue. Those are not logical reasons to want to separate, but most spouses don't separate for that reason. If you don't want to be separated, your options are to go to marriage counseling or fix what your spouse thinks you did wrong or do whatever else it takes to get them to decide to come back. You can't force the spouse back under the law. What you do after you know that you're separated is one of the most crucial decisions you'll make in your life. It will decide how your separation unfolds and even how the rest of your life unfolds. There are a variety of ways to deal with the separation and the issues that arise from it. These can range from having an all-out fight, a beat-em-down, drag-em-out battle in court, to a more amicable and working things out at the kitchen table, and staying together as best you can as friends, or at least co-parents to the children. How you work things out with your spouse will determine what kind of relationship you have with your spouse in the future, and also may decide how angry, bitter, or personality disordered you end up at the end of the process. If your spouse has been abusive or is trying to stick it to you financially or is acting irrationally either because of mental illness or because of some sort of substance abuse problem, then you may have to go to court and have that big fight. Or you might think that you can work it out with your spouse just between the two of you. That can work as long as one spouse isn't trying to cheat the other one. Even if you and your spouse are able to work things out between the two of you, Ontario law still basically requires each of you to have your own independent lawyer. Independent legal advice is necessary for any agreement or settlement to be enforced by the courts or maybe anybody else in Ontario. The reason for this is simple. Before listening to this podcast, how much did you know about family law? What were your rights? What were your obligations? How much was the fair amount for you to get? Who should have the children and why? These are all things that you won't know unless you speak to a lawyer, and you won't have any idea whether your agreement was fair or not. Who you choose as a lawyer is also an important decision. Lawyers have very different styles. Some like to fight everything out in court. Others like to work things out through negotiation, no matter how hard it is or what the result is at the end. You need a lawyer who you feel comfortable with and who's going to follow the process that you want. Lawyers should start off by explaining to you what all the different processes are and which one may be right for you and why. These are important decisions, probably as important or more important than your decision to get married. So, you may want to speak to more than one lawyer. You may want to read books. You want to make this decision very carefully to ensure that the rest of your life unfolds the way that you want it to. The next podcast we'll go into more detail as to what your various options are. I advise you listen to that, too, before you make any rush decisions about what you're going to do next. Thanks for listening. I hope you found this podcast interesting and informative. My name is John Schumann. I'm a family lawyer in Toronto at Devery Smith Frank, LLP. You can reach me at www.devrylaw.ca or by calling 416-446-5847. We'll get together soon for the next podcast.